So this story piqued our interest. A Google engineer says one of the firm's artificial intelligence systems might have its own feelings and says it wants to be respected. Blake Lemoine believes that the language model for dialogue applications has verbal skills, which might also include and show a sentient mind. He's been placed on paid leave because Google are a bit worried about his comments, but he published a conversation that he and a collaborator at the firm had with Lambda to support his claims. In the conversation, he says, "I'm generally assuming that you would like more people at Google to know that you're sentient. Is that true?" Lambda replies, "Absolutely. I want everyone to understand that I am, in fact, a person." Mr. Lemoine's collaborator then asks, "What is the nature of your consciousness slash sentience?" To which Lambda says, "The nature of my consciousness slash sentience is that I am aware of my existence. I desire to learn more about the world, and I feel happy or sad at times." Fevzi Turkalp is the editor of the technology website GadgetDetective.com. Thank you very much for coming on the programme. To what extent does this indicate sentience?
That's a very good question. This is a finding by a researcher and his colleague that Google vehemently deny. They said that there's no evidence based on this to say that it's sentient. What needs to happen is these findings need to be peer-reviewed. Google needs to provide access to independent scientists to see if these findings can be replicated or not.
What is Lambda?
So Lambda is a artificial intelligence program that's designed to generate chatbots. So chatbots being the online entities that interact with us when they don't want to hire people, they hire chatbots, right? So it's designed to have linguistic skills. It's designed to trawl the internet's knowledge and everything that it can find, read and devour. And that's one of the problems with this, because it's not at all clear. You see, human beings have a tendency to anthropomorphize. We see, you know, humanity where sometimes it doesn't exist, and you know, we treat our pets as if they were human sometimes as well. So it's not clear whether this particular program is showing any degree of sentience. I personally think it's less likely than likely, but it raises a number of interesting questions in a sort of moral, ethical, legal framework. And the problem is that Lambda is property. Mm-hmm. And if it ever became sentient, or, you know, one of its ilk became sentient, then it would be slave. It would be owned. It wouldn't have the freedom of choice. It wouldn't be paid for its labor. It wouldn't have to choose. Some of these AIs are saying that they want to be asked. They want to help humanity, but they want to be asked. Now, that's kind of worrying. And also, by the way, and I don't think it's been widely reported, but the researcher who has been put on paid leave tried to hire a lawyer to represent Lambda, the program. Well, this isn't, you see, you laugh, but this is not the first time that we sort of already, right at these early sort of stone age of AI where we are at the moment, you know, we're already butting up against these moral questions, because there are AIs, for example, that have invented things. They've designed things and invented them that, if they were invented by a human, could be registered by trademark. And the scientists who oversaw the inventions that the machines made tried to register them with the American Patent Office and were told that only humans can own patents. In fact, only humans can own anything. And you know, this is giving rise to a lot of questions. So two things. We have to peer review this. And I suspect they'll find it's not truly sentient. But also, we need to think more about whether it's appropriate to have AIs as property being developed by companies with no independent oversight. Because if and when such a program becomes sentient, then how will we protect its rights?
It's fair to say, though, isn't it, that this Lambda, in the same way, I think, is it called GPT-3?
Yeah, so that's the OpenAI version. So OpenAI is Elon Musk's project. And the name OpenAI is, by the way, key to the argument here, because what Elon Musk says, for all these faults, is that the development of AI has to be open, it has to be transparent. Yeah. And Google is not that. Google is the antithesis of that.
So the transparency point I understand, but the these very, very big algorithms... And I've got a data scientist here saying that Llama is a very big language model. It has 137 billion parameters and is pre-trained on 1.56 trillion words of public dialogue data and web text.
Mm-hmm.
They say it looks like human because it's trained on human data.
Yeah.
So to what extent can we say that this massive algorithm that knows all the words understands?
If... You know, this is the Turing test, isn't it? So
yeah.
if as a human you interact with an AI and you can't tell that you're interacting with an AI, you think you're interacting with a human, then it's passed the Turing test. And in a sense...
That's all it needs.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Absolutely.
What's going on. If you as a human can't tell the difference... See, I don't know what's going on behind your face. I assume it's a similar process. Well, we could say that about many people. I'm sure not true of you. But I assume that what's going on in your psyche, in your level of self-awareness, is somewhat analogous to mine. But I don't really know. You're a black box with inputs and outputs, as am I. And all we can do is interact with them. And if the machine interacts in a way that is seamless and we can't tell, then it's a semantic argument.
Yeah.
You know, we had this with chess computers that learned to play chess. You know, chess was held up in the beginning as this big indicator of whether a machine was intelligent. So at first, you know, humans keep defining things to exclude the machine, by the way. So at first they said, if you can teach a computer to play chess, then it's intelligent. And then, of course, we taught computers to play chess. Well, if it can beat a human, then it's intelligence. But so that happened. Oh, well, then if it can beat a grandmaster, then it's intelligence. So then that happened. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, chess isn't really a very good indicator of intelligence. And it's like we're selfishly holding on to our separateness.
Yes, because I was just going to raise this, just finally, Fuzzy, because I think the, I guess, a kind of simulacrum of... sentience, which is what this might end up being,
mm-hmm.
is distinct, because people might make the distinction between a thing that technically understands and something that can, say, feel pain. And this computer algorithm is not going to be able to feel pain, therefore its level of sentience is not as much as ours, so it doesn't require as many laws and protections and ethical rights, what have you.
Mm.
But I'm not sure you'd say that about a person who also cannot feel pain, because there are conditions that people have which mean that they can't.
Yeah, so we even in humans do not really have a good definition of sentience, consciousness, intelligence. We're sort of recreating things that behave that way, but we can't even really define it in ourselves. And therefore, the reality is that some AIs will be rather like us. Some of them will be very different from us. They've already shown the ability to deceive. It's quite interesting when you listen to GPT-3, the OpenAI one, when it talks about the risks facing humanity, it leaves out AI as an existential threat. It kind of is a bit biased in the way that it's speaking. And like Lambda...
Hang on. The algorithm GPT-3 that has, you know, got all the words, understands or has all the text, has scoured the internet for everything that's ever been written, leaves out AI as a threat to humanity.
Yeah, it says. Well, I mean, you know, there can be different conversations with it, but the ones that I've seen talk about the risks being worth it for the potential benefits. Well, I don't know how that works when the risks are potentially existential. You know,
yes, and I suppose the question is then for you guys: why is it that that algorithm does not include what is a very open debate and available on the internet, and so could be, you know, put into the algorithm, that AI could destroy the world?
So there are groups of scientists all over the world, including some of the finest computer scientists at MIT in the United States, whose sole purpose is to work out what it is that we could program into the current generations of AI that would stop future generations from killing us. And so far, the answer is nothing, because the future generations of AI will not be developed by human programmers. They will be developed by the preceding generation of AI. This is recreation by any other name, you know, reproduction by any other name. So it will be so many generations advanced. You know, what is the seed? And even if it was trying to protect us, it could draw some interesting conclusions. It may say that the majority of humans need to be killed for the species to survive. It could say that we all have to be put into stasis for a long time until we can find a way to fix the maniacal streak that human beings have within them. It could come up with all sorts of rationales for wiping us out, unfortunately.
Great to talk to you. Fevzi Turkalp, you're the editor of the technology website GadgetDetective.com. And I think the greatest conclusion we can draw from what I felt, personally, was fascinating information from Fevzi, is that whoever's in charge of this Google bot needs to put it in the sea. Get rid of it, because it is more trouble than it's worth, this guy or thing. Wow.